Welcome back to Patriots Preview, presented by your New England Honda dealers, Mark Bertrand, alongside Chris Gasper. We are in the broadcast booth inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium as we get ready for Super Bowl 53. And as we get ready for the game, we welcome in from The Athletic, it's Jeff Howe, brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union. At Rockland Federal Credit Union, free means free. Free online banking and debit card. No minimum balance and no monthly fee. Visit rfcu.com today to find a location near you. Jeff, how are you, bud?
I'm super. Thanks for asking.
Patriots inactives have just come out. Duke Dawson, Derek Rivers, Keontae Davis, Ufuamba Kamalu, Obi Melifonwu, James Ferentz, and Steven Anderson are the inactives. So no big surprises on the inactive front for the Patriots as we get into this game.
Dietrich Wise and Danny Shelton are back in after missing last week.
All the inactives there, and those who are going to be in the game, as you just heard from Jeff. Jeff, we've talked a lot about some of the matchups in this game. We've talked about the importance of stopping the run for both teams. What we have not talked about, Chris, to this point, is if you're the Patriots, how do you sort of line up your guys in your secondary in this game? A lot has been talked about this week. I know we've all discussed it at different points, and that is how much man coverage do the Patriots play in this game to try and maybe negate some of that play-action stuff from Jared Goff. The Patriots have played more man than anybody in the NFL this year, and they played a ton of it in Kansas City 2 weeks ago. Do they do that again, Jeff? And if you had to make a prediction, how do they sort of line guys up on the field?
Well, what I would do, and I know my opinion on these matters is held in the highest of regards, I would put Stephon Gilmore on Robert Woods, because Woods is the heart of that offense, and if you can try to take him out, I know he lines up in the slot quite a bit, but the Patriots have trusted Gilmore to play in the slot. Now, who knows? Maybe they don't want Gilmore in the slot all game if that's something that the Rams try to do, or at least increase Woods' usage there. But then you put a guy like J.C. Jackson on Brandon Cooks, because you're going to want a safety on Cooks regardless. I mean, the guy, he's an artistic deep ball route runner, and you allow Jackson to be physical with him at the line because he's fearless, and then you allow Devin McCourty to roam overhead. I mean, the way that McCourty played over the top of Tyreek Hill last week was incredible. So give him another chance to do that. Now, the only way that I think that would really fluctuate is if you are worried about that second tight end or another run, you know, a lot of those. If you're going to use Chung on a tight end, or you're afraid of Gurley becoming more of a weapon again out of the backfield as a pass catcher, maybe you want a guy like McCourty following him as opposed to a linebacker, because those are matchups the Rams and McVay, I would expect, would try to exploit. So, but then again, who knows? You put Harmon over the top of a guy like Cook. So there's a lot of possibilities, and obviously the Patriots have enough bodies and talent and past success to have not just a plan A and B, but probably a plan C as well.
Yeah, I mean, one guy that I'm sort of worried about that we haven't talked about here, and you sort of alluded to it, you know, tight end, Gerald Everett is a guy that they put in a lot of different spots in their offense. And it's sort of like, to a lesser degree, what the Patriots used to do with Aaron Hernandez. You know, you could go hurry up, and you could change formations without changing personnel, because here's this guy that you can line up in line. You can line up wide with him. You can put him in, you know, sort of, you know, in the slot. You can do all these different things with him. And I'm curious how you think the Patriots handle a guy like that, because I think that guy could be an X factor in this game.
Yeah, I agree, because, you know, if the Rams were the second-ranked scoring offense in the league this season, I know they had Cooper Kupp for most of that, but they didn't do it just because they had two wide receivers that they, you know, dominated the catches. So Goff will throw it to anybody, whether it's Everett or Higbee. I mean, all five guys out there are an option. And who knows, maybe even some of those under-the-radar guys are a number one or a number two option on any given play to, again, exploit some of the matchups, make a lot of, you know, that's what McVay gets so much credit for. Everything looks the same, and then you just run a bunch of, you know, different, roll out different stuff to counter what the defense might expect or suspect is about to happen. So, and again, Todd Gurley, we'll see how much of a factor he is. He basically choked in that Saints game, which is bizarre, because you don't expect a running back of all positions to be a guy who's going to have a choking type of performance in a big moment. But we'll see what Gurley's made of. I mean, if he's a guy who can run through the Patriots defense like they allowed to happen from weeks 13 to 15, then all of a sudden you've got a much more dire situation in your hands. But if you're the Patriots run defense that has played well from week 16 until now, and Gurley isn't able to get out of whatever funk hung over his head against the Saints, then you force Goff to win the game, and that's a real, real significant question mark.
We're talking with Jeff Howe of The Athletic as we get ready for the Patriots and Rams in Super Bowl 53. When you look at the Patriots offense and sort of what they might do in this game, the tight end could be important to them, and we're hearing today that Rob Gronkowski is back to 100% health.
Probably explains why he was in such a good mood all week. I mean, my goodness, this was he was vintage Gronk all week long, and you know, I think you've kind of seen it. But you also, at least to an extent, now today's report that he's 100% is terrific news for the Patriots, but you sort of expected that because they had the bye week, and you saw how good he was in the divisional round game after the bye week. You saw how much energy he had after the bye week in the regular season, after that three-week or two-week layoff or whatever in the regular season. So you knew that he was going to have a little extra jump. But if you don't even have to worry about him at all because of the back and the Achilles or the ankle or whatever, then, I mean, that's as significant of a boost as you could ask for because he is the most talented skill position player in this game.
Bill Belichick had talked a lot about Los Angeles Rams defensive coordinator Wade Phillips being a guy that hasn't changed a whole lot, Jeff. Do you foresee anything that the Rams do today to try and take away Julian Edelman or James White that's maybe out of the ordinary? Because one of the things that has really struck me about their two playoff wins thus far is that I think two guys that Tom Brady leans on and trusts the most, teams pretty much have let him throw the ball to.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's kind of funny. You look at the Chargers and the phrase I've always thrown out there with a Pete Carroll-style defense, they do what they do because they do it well, and obviously they're not willing to change or adapt.
Yeah.
Wade Phillips has 40 years of history of doing that. I mean, he even corrected Belichick. He was like, actually, I've been doing the same thing for 40 years.
So that's a great line.
I think, you know, one change-up that I would look for, not from the Rams side, but from the Patriots side, you've got Marcus Peters who, from in terms of the Patriots offense, he's going to line up to your left side, so to Tom Brady's left, his blind side. That's really where you would expect him to stick. Peters, when he plays well, is giving a 6 to 8 yard cushion off the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that means he would probably, under a traditional offensive set, is going to see a lot of Philip Dorsett. But that's an area where if you're going to give up that cushion, you just throw Julian Edelman over there as much as possible because Edelman kills everybody who gives him a cushion. So that would be something that I would look for. I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but or a Chris Hogan, who I think could have a lot more success against a cushion. I mean, Dorsett is more of a possession receiver, but if you're going to go into this game trying to wear out Marcus Peters, do you want to do it with Dorsett or do you want to do it with, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from Dorsett and what he's done this season, but in terms of proven track records in big-time playoff games, Edelman, Hogan's had some, obviously White, but, you know, I'm not expecting him to see Peters a whole lot.
Right. Jeff Howe of The Athletic. Jeff, appreciate your time. Give him a follow on Twitter. I'm sure you'll have plenty of tweets during this game, at Jeff P. Howe.
Thanks, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.